Well, one way to validate your work as artists is to simply go over there and grab a violin and to do something like that. That was pretty amazing. We can't really doubt your ability as artists anymore, if anybody had that. So thank you for sharing. So every year around Easter, as you've seen throughout the service order, from the call to worship to the lyrics of the song, we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. After Easter, the ascension of Jesus, and Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, which often takes us to the book of Acts, because Acts is the book that talks about the acts or the actions of the first followers of Jesus as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Our passage today is from the first book, the first chapter of Acts, and we're going to begin in Acts chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, and then skip to verses 21 through 26. And as is often the case, you'll see this in our passage today, and we'll be talking about it, is that when the Spirit of the living God breaks into our world, sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's beyond us, and we're going to see that today. So beginning in verse 15, it says, "In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, 'Brothers and sisters, the scripture has been fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry.'" And we skip ahead to verse 21. "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time that Jesus was taken from us. For one of us must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Friends, this is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. In this morning's passage, the work of the Holy Spirit through the lives of the first followers of Jesus introduces two ideas that will probably make us a little bit uncomfortable, or at least when we look into it, we'll begin to see why maybe this should make us uncomfortable. First is the work of the Spirit of the living God in the lives of the first followers of Jesus through what's called the ministry of the apostles, or apostolic ministry. And I will tell you in a little bit why some people are a little bit uncomfortable with that idea. The second thing is that makes people uncomfortable when the Holy Spirit works is that the Spirit of the living God reveals God's will on something as important as who's going to be the 12th after Judas through the very spiritual act of what? Casting lots. Casting lots is like throwing dice. That is the spiritual practice that they're engaging in right here. First, let's look at what the Holy Spirit does through followers of Jesus in the ministry of the apostles. In verse 24, it said, "Then they prayed, 'Lord, you know everybody's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs.'" Do you hear kind of the sarcasm in there? Judas left to go where he belongs. I don't think that's the most kind statement, but we'll let that go. And so it's fair to ask, what is potentially even uncomfortable talking about the ministry of the apostles or apostolic ministry? Why would that be uncomfortable? Because there are some people groups out there. There are some Christian groups out there. There are some groups out there very similar to us. Reformed Protestants, which, by the way, is 100% our tradition and 100% our denomination. And for these people, like people in our tradition, especially back in the day, not so much now, but they're adamant that apostolic ministry doesn't exist anymore. That's something that happened back then, that the Holy Spirit empowered people in special, extraordinary ways to do things that we see in Scripture. That happened back then, but not so much now. And why in the world would they say this? Because Reformed Protestants like ourselves, historically, we don't like hierarchy at all. We're Protestants. We protested against hierarchy. We protested against hierarchy that uses power coercively. We protested against hierarchy that didn't do people and didn't work for the common good. We're about the priesthood of everybody. We all have gifts of the Spirit. We're all going to share in this together. And so there's a rub. There's potentially a little uncomfort in acknowledging that the ongoing ministry of the apostles and the Holy Spirit filling people in an extraordinary way is gifted to some people, but not to all. Because if everyone's not a part of that, then some people have a little bit more authority than other people, and we're not super comfortable with that, which is challenging for us. Because the apostles, the apostolic ministry that we often think about right off the bat, is things that are pretty fantastic and shocking. For example, the apostles went around physically healing all kinds of people. They raised people from the dead. God even ordered some people dead in order to continue the ministry of the apostles. Earthquakes freed the apostles from jail. Apostles communicated the words directly of the Holy Spirit. It talks about them shaking off vipers, whatever that means. They served and saved multitudes of people. I mean, if there are people now with that kind of authority, that suggests some sort of a hierarchy, because not everyone is doing this type of thing on a daily basis, right? And the difference between people makes some people really uncomfortable. And so what they do is they just kind of resort to denying that this is true of anyone at this time. But the things that we often jump to when we think about the ministry of the apostles, it's the miraculous, it's the mysterious, it's the fantastic. The apostles were way more than that, though. They weren't limited to that. They were about expanding the kingdom of God, however the Holy Spirit empowered them to do so. So what we're going to do is we're going to look to see what Scripture actually says about the entire role of the apostles. And I'll let you decide for yourself if you think that the role of the apostle is still something going on today. So the first function of the apostle that we see is that they take the good news of Jesus to people who have not heard it yet, to unreached people. Paul says in Romans, he says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel of Christ to people who had not known. For that, I would not be building on somebody else's foundation." Think about that. How about today? Are there unreached people today? It's true that the gospel has gone out to different parts of every nation around the world. Thank the Lord, that is good news. But even today, there is an estimated 16,000 different people groups that are isolated because of geography or language who do not have a clue of the good news of Jesus Christ. And by the way, Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church has an amazing history of supporting missionaries who go out to share the good news with people who do not know it. And that is something to celebrate and to be a part of. But here's another thing. Your neighbors, your country club, the people you play cards with on a regular basis, the people around the table at the board you sit on, your grandkids, the public school that your great-grandkids go to, artists, and Joshua Tree, those groups of people might be as unreached as anybody else in the world. And who is going to share the good news of Jesus with them if it's not us? Do we still need people who carry on the ministry of the apostles, sharing good news with people who haven't heard it? What do you think? Because according to Scripture, that's part of the role of an apostle. Another role of an apostle is that they plant churches. Paul says, he says, "By the grace of God given to me, I laid a foundation as a wise master builder, and someone else is building on it. But each of you should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than that one has already been laid, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul says it here that he is sharing the good news so that churches will be established. Evangelists, they share good news so that people make first-time commitments to follow Jesus. But the apostles, they shared the good news so that communities would be formed where people could grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, by far, first-time commitments to followers of Jesus overwhelmingly, and I mean overwhelmingly, take place in church plants and established churches which behave like church plants. According to Scripture, planting churches is one of the roles of the apostle. My question to you is, do we still need that role in the world today? Another role of apostles is that they deal with specific problems and false doctrine and sin in the churches, in churches in general. So Paul, he writes this letter to the Corinthians. And in this letter, which isn't that long, but he lists all of these problems existing in the church. Disunity, immaturity, pride, immorality, refusal to follow Jesus' instructions on conflict resolution, people trying to get ahead as opposed to people trying to bring together in reconciliation, cohabitation, gossip, problems with celibacy and marriage and divorce, wrong handling of the Lord's Supper, confusion about the resurrection. All of those things, according to Scripture, one of the original roles of the apostles is to deal with problems that exist in local churches. My question is, how about today? It's a good thing we don't have any of those issues today, right? My question is, do we still need people with the role of the apostle even today? Next, the apostles, they promote unity in the body of Christ. In Philippi, it was Paul. He went and he had to bring unity and he had to bring two ladies together who were in conflict. In Corinth, there was some disunity that seemed to be citywide as followers of Jesus were picking the dynamic leader which they liked the best, which was either Paul or Apollos or Peter, and there was disunity, and he came in and he brought it all together. Today, disunity in a church, of course, is a problem because it's filled with humans. But when people can't get together, when people are not unified, not only are we ignoring Jesus' one prayer request for us that we see in John chapter 17, but this unity robs us and it robs the world of God's best for our lives. Disunity, it shows us that following, it shows the world that following Jesus, when we can't be unified, that we're not different than anybody else. Apostles have a burden to see now what God promises in the future. In the future, we look forward to a day when all things are brought together under the rule and reign in Jesus. Apostles are looking to apply that even right now. And so my question is, how many of us feel that there's still a need for apostles? How many of us feel that there's still a need for unity among believers? And here's the role of the apostle that might be a little bit uncomfortable. And Scripture talks about apostles, they demonstrate the supernatural kingdom of God. It's referring to the things I mentioned before, is when people are healed and they speak on behalf of the Holy Spirit and people are raised from the dead and things like that. According to the Bible, that is part of the role of the apostle as well. But what about us today? I wonder if maybe, just maybe, for far too long, we've mistakenly thought that we can explain our faith, which by definition is inexplainable, that we could simply explain it through words and ideas. I wonder if maybe, just maybe, we've tried to rely on our human intellect and our wisdom and our persuasive way and our persuasive words as a way to tell people the good news of the gospel. But here's the thing. That's the very thing that Paul said, do not do. He says, my message and my preaching were not in wise words or persuasive words, but with demonstrations of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. I mean, if God is involved in something, why wouldn't we expect to make it uncomfortable? Right? We're talking about God invading our human existence. In stating these functions, the apostles of the first century church, they must have realized that each apostle in the New Testament, they were unique in the ways they used their gifts. If you think about Peter, he was really good at reaching the lost. He didn't do everything. If you think about Paul, he was really good at teaching and planting churches. If you think about John, he was really good at bringing unity. If you think about James, He was more pastoral, and he never left Jerusalem, but he ministered to people in a significant way. So apostolic ministry, I can absolutely see why it makes some of us uncomfortable. But what do you think? Do you think we need apostolic ministry today? Do you know anybody who fits that role? Sometimes have you even seen yourself fit that role? Something else outside of our comfort zones from today's passage is, how about God revealing his will to people trying to discern his will through simply casting lots? Does that surprise anybody here? Can you imagine if the elders of this church had a really important decision and they went into a meeting and the day after you're like, wow, that's a crazy decision. How'd you come to it? They're like, well, we pulled out the dice and we just, you know, saw how where it came up. We drew some straws. We thought that's how God was going to discern his will to us. We would never expect that, right? But this is something that we actually see all throughout Scripture, whether it's dream interpretation or casting lots or reading patterns in liquid. You can read about it in 1 Samuel or 2 Kings. Or whether it's decisions made by consulting idols or communing with the dead even. Casting or shooting arrows, which sounds really fun. Decisions made by just looking at the stars. I don't know about you, but that kind of discernment of God's will, especially on something as important as who's going to replace Judas to be a part of the 12, that kind of takes me a little bit out of my comfort zone. I wonder if it does for you too. So some parts of the ministry of the apostles, so some parts of the apostolic ministry, it makes us uncomfortable. Some ways that the Bible tells us that God is revealing himself and his will might make us a little bit uncomfortable too. But let's try to offer a little bit of perspective in this time we have together. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of all creation, the creator of water, earth, and sky, the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of all things, the one that's beyond our galaxy. The universe is his footstool. The one that nothing greater can even be imagined. Does it really surprise us at all when we step back and think about it, that the unlimited and the unfettered God of the universe would be able to do some things that make us limited and finite human a little bit uncomfortable? Does that really surprise us? Is there another way for him to work? Does it really surprise us that the things that God is up to would do anything but put us in awe? Would do anything but make us uncomfortable, or that we would see it as mysterious because it's outside of what we're used to? Of course it would. We're finite. He's infinite. We're talking about God, the ultimate reality, that which nothing can be greater. Tim Keller says, the role of the Holy Spirit is to remind all of us of reality. And remember, we have a very small sliver of reality. God knows it all. So when the Holy Spirit came down at Jesus' baptism, he invited God to speak. And what does God say? You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is his beloved. That is reality. In the same way Paul talks about in Romans, it's the same thing that's true of us. The role of the Holy Spirit is to define reality. For us, he defines reality, and he says that he speaks to our heart and he reminds us that what? We are children of God as well. Tim Keller says, part of the mission of the Holy Spirit is to tell you God's love for you. Part of the role of the Holy Spirit is for you to know that God delights in you. Part of the role of the Holy Spirit is to define reality and to let you know the fact that you are a child of God. Imagine that. Does that not make us a little bit uncomfortable? Is that not outside of our realm of what's possible in the universe? These things, you might know in your head, you might have heard them before, but it's the role of the Holy Spirit for you to experience them and to internalize it. For example, let's be honest, the idea of God, ultimate reality, showing you and I favor. The idea of God, the creator of the universe, delighting in us. How much do we have to make God delight in us? But he does. The idea of ultimate reality calling us and loving us like his own children, that should take us out of the comfort zone, because whatever God is doing should take us out of our comfort zone and cause us to grow, because we are not like him. Thomas Goodwin, he gives a great example of this. He shares a story. He said, one day he saw a father and a son walking down the street together, and they were just next to each other. Suddenly, the father sweeps up the son into his arms, and he starts loving on him. He hugs him, he kisses him, he tells him he loves him, and things like that. And then after a couple minutes of that, he just puts him down, and they walk next to each other again. Goodwin asks, was the little boy more of a son in his father's arms than he was when he was just simply walking down the street with his dad? Objectively and legally, not at all. There's no difference. But from the view of the boy, absolutely there was a difference. When he was in the arms of his father, all the difference in the world. He was then understanding what it means, and he was experiencing what it means to be a child of his son. The role of the Holy Spirit is to help you and me sense, and for you and I to know that we belong to God and we are his completely. It's the Holy Spirit that enables you to say to yourself, if someone as important as the God of the universe can love me like a child, delights in me, if someone as powerful as God has gone through infinite lengths to save me and to redeem me, and is going to wipe away every tear and is going to take away everything bad and replace it with everything good that he's about, if all of that is true, why are we afraid of anything? Because that is so far beyond us. That is as difficult to understand and wrap our minds around as some of the extraordinary things we see in Scripture. The role of the Holy Spirit is to define reality. And this morning, we gather every Sunday because we celebrate that that is reality. That we belong to God. That's amazing. Let me ask you a question. Is the reality that God loves you like a child, that he delights in you, that he's gone to infinite lengths to a cross to save you, that he's going to redeem you and make you perfect, is that any less mysterious and awe-inspiring and mind-bending, maybe even uncomfortable, as a sick person being made well, as life coming out of death because we know that Jesus is all about resurrection or miracles? Because this morning, understand, here's the thing. Everything that God does, everything that the Holy Spirit does is beyond us by definition. So miracles, they might make us uncomfortable. But of course they do, because God's behind it. People being raised from the dead, that might make us uncomfortable. Absolutely. But God's behind it, so of course it does. God revealing himself in ways to people trying to discern his will in ways that we recommend, even if it's casting lots, does that make us uncomfortable? Sure. But of course it does, because God's behind it and he doesn't fit into our categories. You going through life and me going through life, knowing that no matter what we've done or no matter what we haven't done, we're able to go through life knowing that we are children of God, does that make you uncomfortable? It should. That should be the most awe-inspiring thing that we can even imagine. But guess what? Of course it does, because God's behind it. And so may we not shy away from things that might make us uncomfortable, because it might be there that God is actually at work. May that be true of you, and may that be true of me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.